Welcome to All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, and joining me are my co-hosts, WOSU restaurant reviewers, bloggers, and cooking teachers, Steve Stover. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ann.
And Rich Terapak Sr. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ann.
Today, we're talking about the food of Central Ohio farmers markets, and Central Ohio boasts more than 25 farmers markets, and they're brimming with farm-to-table offerings of fresh vegetables and fruits now, and all manner of local products. Produce in Ohio is hitting its peak season. Sweet corn, tomatoes, peaches, blueberries, they're already showing up on kitchen and restaurant tables. Kara Mangini is a chef and author of the 2016 cookbook titled The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables with Artichokes, from Artichokes to Zucchini. She's also the former owner, and correct me if I'm wrong, of Little Eater. Are you still Kara Mangini? Welcome to the show in the North Market. Oops, got you on. We're going to work on the sound there. Kara? Okay, we're going to work on that sound. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking about farmers markets today, and we would love you for you to share your thoughts about the farmers markets, what's back, what's not, what you miss, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're working on Kara Mangini's sound right now. Steve and Rich, maybe Rich, it's you that's been busy checking out the farmers markets. Am I wrong?
It's been fun. It's a summer exercise, although it's been hotter than Hades, and boy, you feel sorry for the poor vendors. Yeah, I got the essentially the east of High Street assignment, but I also Pearl Alley is east of High Street.
Yeah.
So I ran around. Many of them are on the same day, like Thursday. So last night I had a bang-up trip all around, did the circuit from Pickerington to Reynoldsburg to Bexley.
Five places in one week.
I know.
Dedication.
It's impressive.
Yeah,
any themes, any common denominators?
The common denominators, they all seem now to have music, which is unusual. The one that did not was Franklin Park, and I think I did Franklin Park a week earlier, and I don't think the vegetable vendors had much of their crop in yet.
Okay.
I think the common denominator for yesterday's and Tuesday's is that it's coming in strong. So you have all the tomatoes, all the blackberries, all the cucumbers.
Early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had heat and rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we even had corn yesterday from a Circleville person in Bexley. It's kind of fun. You just wander around. They also all have, the fragrance vendors and the barbecue sauce vendors and the peppers.
And the hummus vendors.
It's just fun. It really is.
Yeah, and when you don't have the state fair this year, it's a good substitute. Yeah. You can get your lemon shake up at the one in Reynoldsburg. it's pretty cool.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher at 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about farmers markets today. And Kara Mangini, are you with us now?
I am here.
Yay! Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you today.
And tell us about Little Eater. I know the one in Clintonville was closed, but are you still in Short North?
We are not in the North Market, okay. But we are really excited to share some news about reopening soon. So stay tuned for that.
Oh great. Good.
Oh, yay. Give us a tease.
Yeah. Any place
I
near
hope
me.
To have all the details for you today, but I can tell you that I think people will be really excited, and we are too.
Okay, good news. Nice to know. Look for that. Little Eater, Something About It is coming back. My guest, Kara Mangini, she's chef and author of the 2016 cookbook titled The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. Now, you might remember Kara was on the show with us for two or three membership drives, and the book was a super, probably one of the most popular thank you gifts we've ever had on the show. It was crazy. So if you've gotten the book and you want to talk to Kara Mangini about it, today's the day. But Kara, what is your habit as far as shopping farmers markets in Central Ohio?
Well, like you said, we are so lucky here to have so many incredible markets. That means we have wonderful, hardworking farmers all around us that are committed to coming to market to give us their food, and then people behind the scenes making these markets work. And then, of course, we have a community that's supporting them. So it's an exciting time to get out there. And it's a, you know, certainly a safe ritual. And, you know, for me, I like to go to my neighborhood market. I'm in Clintonville, but also I think it just depends on the day. There's, you know, we're lucky to have markets both, you know, in the afternoon and evening hours, as well as on the weekend. So for me, it just kind of depends on when I need, you know, when I'm out of things or I'm ready to go shopping. So I'll map out my my trips based on what day of the week and what the needs are. And of course, right now, you know, it really is, we're hitting peak season. You're starting to see the tomatoes come out. Of course, there's corn. The, you know, that moment where you have blueberries and peaches, I think, is a really special time. So it's exciting.
Tis exciting.
Yeah, very much fun.
Well, I just, it's become a ritual for us. And so often we'll make a whole meal. We'll go to the market. We go to the North Market, and we often go where our friends the Rhodes are, Rhodes Farm Market at Circle. Mm-hmm. They're at Hilliard and Worthington and someplace else. And we'll make a meal. We'll get some. Now, we're getting tomatoes because ours aren't in, but they've had tomatoes for a couple weeks. They have blackberries. They're the largest blackberry producer east of the Mississippi.
And you know, Steve, there's another blackberry person out there that has about half the acreage of your friends, the Rhodes folks, and she also produces blackberries. So it, clearly, Circleville is the blackberry capital of the United States.
Don't tell the pumpkin people.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's right.
We'll basically make a meal. We'll just have a little protein, like we had one chicken thigh each the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Local sweet corn, local tomatoes, basil, and radishes, and cucumbers from our garden. And a loaf of homemade bread, and that was dinner.
Did the same thing.
That sounds like a great dinner.
My trip around the east side, we did the same thing last night. The only thing purchased was a Costco rotisserie chicken. It's one place, the only place I can find broccolini is at these markets. You can't find it at the grocery store. They have broccoli, but broccolini is hard to find.
You're right, not broccolini right now.
So go to the Franklin Park. They've got it there.
Kira, do you let what's there, I don't like to use the word dictate, but suggest to you what is not going to be for dinner at night?
Absolutely. I think that's the most exciting part of cooking right now. And the best part of seasonally cooking is, you know, you really, I think for me, it's important to let my cooking be inspired by what's locally available. You're going to get, you know, peak freshness, peak flavor. And really everything that you see at the market right now is naturally going to work together. So I think, you know, you can sort of not be fearful and you know, how am I going to pair these things? How am I going to put them together? Really, it all works. And I think grilling right now is a great approach, because you can put, you know, you're going to naturally, if you have peak produce, it's already coming with such incredible flavor. Grilling and getting a little char is going to give you really concentrated flavor, and then sort of the added bonus of a smoky aroma. And, you know, you can pair that with a sauce, but I think whether it be a pesto or a vinaigrette, I think a little bit of acid, but just really good olive oil and salt and fresh herbs, I think will bring mm-hmm. any vegetable you throw in the grill, bring it to life. And, you know, you can, and I think also don't be shy about what you throw on there. Really everything you're seeing right now, you can throw on the grill, and then throw that fruit on there as well. You know, things like peaches, mm-hmm. you're going to really concentrate that flavor and then yeah. balance out the other vegetables you throw on the grill with it. So absolutely, this is the time to get inspired by what you see and let that sort of lead you in the kitchen.
And the peaches can sometimes almost be a meal. We did, I think last year, we sprinkled some sugar on peaches. We grilled them. We served them with burrata, or you could use creme fraiche, or if for dessert, you could use ice cream and an arugula salad for a little peppery, and that was practically enough for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But do I look like I've been eating only vegetables? I don't. Not so sure.
It's the pandemic, Steve. You've got an excuse.
The pandemic 15.
When you two are doing your cooking classes in the summer, how much are you influenced by what's at the market?
A great deal. Unfortunately, we're not doing one in August this year. Mm-hmm. We'll put it off till October, but we'll be able to still gather some good stuff at that time. We try to make it thematic as to the availability season. of the season. Yeah,
and they have the gardens there. We've often been tempted to sneak out into the community gardens.
Like Franklin Park, right.
Pick our own.
I did have to do that. I had to steal some rosemary from somebody.
It might have been Boudreaux. But,
you know, I mean, when I was up north, I planted some basil this year, and it just grew splendidly up in the Upper Peninsula. And so I was able to make pesto, but I didn't have a food processor, and I realized how spoiled I am. All I had was this, like, Proctor Silex, you know,
blender.
It's like practically like a smoothie maker. Uh-huh. And I was just chopping and moving it around. I almost ate up two spoons doing it, but there's nothing like, I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know if they invented pesto after the food processor came along or not, but it didn't matter. I just kept chopping and chopping.
Mortar and pesto.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the old fashioned way.
There's always something. And pestos can be made out of a gazillion things besides basil, right, Kira?
Absolutely. And of course, I mean, you really do right now in the market see basil in just huge bunches. So I definitely urge everybody to get that basil right now and capture that flavor, because you can freeze that pesto and use it in the winter months, whether you top it, you know, minestrone or make a pasta or smear it on toast. But yes, absolutely. You know, red peppers are wonderful. You can broil them until the skins blacken, and you can peel them, they sort of wrinkle, and then peel them, throw that into the food processor with the same base, whether it be, and you know, yep. You can mix up the nuts. So maybe instead of using pine nuts with a red pepper pesto, you might use almonds or walnuts.
Walnuts, yeah.
And then again, maybe pecorino or manchego or parmesan, olive oil, garlic, a little acid, maybe sherry vinegar or lemon. You can really play around with that. You could use other herbs. You can use the greens, whether it be Swiss chard or kale.
Yeah.
There's really so many options when it comes to pesto.
Like chimichurri. It's essentially a South American pesto. Mm-hmm. And you throw just about anything in it as well. Cilantro has to be there.
And we encourage people to have a little bit of some kind of a little sauce with protein. As Kara mentioned, it could even, last night I did a just a hanger steak that was just wonderful. They're so hard to find. And I just did a little drizzle of olive oil and a couple of our first garden cherry and grape tomatoes and a little, salsa kind of thing. And that was all we needed.
Yeah. I just ate my first cherry tomato off the vine the other day. There was only one, so why wait?
You didn't share it?
No. But, all this, when I'm just listening to you guys talk, it makes me think about how simpler is better when it comes to fresh produce. I got some incredible kale in a CS, whatever you call it, the subscription thing a couple weeks ago. And I still just love chopping it up into little bits with some lemon and a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper and having it that way, Kara.
Absolutely. Simple, I think, is always best. And I think it's the most approachable way to cook, too. You know, I think we get so excited and attracted to this produce at this time of year. And I think it's easy to overbuy and get excited when you're in at the market.
Tell me about it.
I think the best approach to making sure you use it is to keep it simple. Absolutely. I think olive oil with an acid, with the lemon or lime or good vinegar. Mm-hmm. But a way to dress that up and really turn that kale salad into a meal is maybe you add a grain to it, maybe spelt berries or frika or a little bit of bulgur. If you add nuts and maybe a chickpea and maybe a peaches are so beautiful with kale. So maybe you dress that up with just fresh sliced peaches and some chopped almonds and a chickpea and a great lemon vinaigrette or a honey vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. And you've turned that simple kale salad into a meal so that you can really use it depending on the moment. If it's sort of just a light lunch, you can keep it extra simple.
Yeah.
But I think there's also just some simple steps to turn it into a meal without also turning into a complicated kitchen project.
Rich and I were in Michigan over the 4th, and we had two new dishes that we hadn't done, and they were super simple, and you can...
Yeah, one of them was just the cherry tomatoes, which are coming on strong right now. Essentially, you roast them in a 400-degree oven with a vinaigrette with a little honey in it tossed in. When they wilt, you put in some whitefish. I used walleye, and 6 minutes later, you've got a dish.
Oh,
the whole thing in within 25 minutes, and it's over the top.
When we were grilling, I did grilled ratatouille.
You have to grill the vegetables separately.
Oh, you grilled the vegetables before you combine them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, yum.
And I added, as I always do with that, or caponata, I caramelized some
tomato paste.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich. Tomato paste with the onions, and then added the rest of the vegetables. That added a little bit of umami. Yeah. But that was sort of a tweak.
There were five couples up there, so we had fun.
Feeding them.
I
bet you did. We're going to take a break. We'll get back with back to it with my co-host, Rich Tarapac Sr., Steve Stover, both of our WSU restaurant reviewers and food bloggers, and they're also cooking teachers. And with us as well, Kara Mangini. She's a chef and author of the 2016 cookbook titled The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. She has some news. She won't share it with us, but there's news coming up about Little Leader, so we wait with bated breath about that. If you have a question or comment for Kara or Steve or Rich, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, and also with me, my co-hosts, WOSU restaurant reviewers, bloggers, and cooking teachers, Steve Stover and Rich Tarapac Sr., and still with us as well, Kara Mangini, author of the 2016 cookbook, The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. We're talking about farmers markets and all things summer produce right now. Call in with your favorite farmers market ideas and vegetable recipes, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My vegetable butcher cookbook is just a complete freaking mess, Kara.
Tatters.
It's gross. It's splattered.
That makes me so happy.
So there you go. What, Kara, your book, as I said, was immensely popular with WOSU listeners. We're going to take a caller in just a second who got it. Tell us about the book and what it means to be a vegetable butcher.
Well, the idea is that, you know, vegetables can be a little more confounding than I think we all admit. We weren't necessarily given the tools and the knowledge of how to sort of naturally approach them. And I wanted to make vegetables second nature and be a guide and share my expertise and sort of my professional life dedicated to vegetables and preparing these ingredients. So the idea is that there's a person and also a resource that can really hold your hand and help guide you through the process of cooking with these incredible ingredients. And there's such a wide range as you go through the seasons, and everyone can require a little bit of a different approach. So in the book, of course, and I, just as a professional, it's my goal to really share my tips and tricks and techniques on how to approach them and really put them at the center of the plate and make abundant meals and beautiful and delicious meals as well, with vegetables at the center.
Let's see, Suzanne and Bexley, you're on the air. Hi, Suzanne.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to say I got the Vegetable Butcher book by Kara, and I just love it. It's helped me so many times, and especially just in the last few days, I My sister lives just outside of Gahanna and has a giant garden, and she had an extreme overabundance of Swiss chard. And she asked me if I could help her with that, so I came over and got a bunch of her Swiss chard, and I pulled out the vegetable butcher, and there just happened to be this awesome recipe called Swiss chard crostata. And I had everything for it, obviously all the 15 cups of Swiss chard, which it called for. And
that's a small batch.
Yeah. I mean, that's what was so wonderful about the recipe. It totally used all this giant pile of Swiss chard that I had. And the only thing I didn't have was the fennel seed, but I have lots of cumin seed, which I love. So I used that instead, and it came together really well, and my husband went crazy for it, and he's super picky, and he was inhaling.
What a nice guy.
It's like amazing. Yeah, it was the best. I've never had such an experience where a recipe worked so well, and took.
That's great.
Yeah, and it used up all the Swiss chard. It was like really amazing.
You know, that's interesting. So, that's one of those things about vegetables. They go a long way, and they reduce a lot. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that comment means the world to me because, you know, I really created the book to be able to cook with the seasons and to be able to work with whatever's coming out of your garden or your friend's garden or at the farmer's market and feel like you can turn that into a meal. And that crostata is one of my absolute all-time favorite recipes. And I'm so happy to hear that it was enjoyed. And, you know, you can use other greens as well, whatever you have an abundance of. So you could use kale in that. You could use mustard greens. You could use a mix of greens. You could use spinach. But it's a wonderful, really versatile recipe to use whatever type of greens you have on hand and use a lot of them. And like you said, they really do wilt and cook down. So that 15 cups, you'd be surprised what that actually turns into.
Thank you, Suzanne, for that call. Everybody else, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City with me, Ann Fisher, also Rich Tirapak Sr. and Steve Stover, our restaurant reviewers for WOSU and food bloggers. And by the way, you can read 160 restaurant reviews and much more recipes and more. Go to WOSU.org/chefs for all of that. Check it out. We'll post that on our website as well.
Yeah, we submitted a couple recipes. I don't know if they're up on the they won't be because somebody's on vacation. But I think we sent in three recipes, including my mother's heirloom. It was from her mother. Blueberry buckle.
Which Mary Stover made when we were in Michigan. Yeah. She gets credit for the name,
oh
too.
Gosh.
And Betty Rossbottom has in several of her cookbooks.
And blueberries are all over the place in these markets.
Michigan blueberries.
Yeah. Right. Are they Michigan right now?
No.
Cherries. Bought back lots of cherries from Michigan, as you probably do.
I got 5 quarts. Well, I got 5 quarts off my own tree in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
So having a super lot of fun thinking about why. I kind of hoard them, though. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I didn't see any sitting around.
They're sour cherries. You know, you can't find
them
everywhere.
Them?
No, I freeze them. I pit them.
Okay.
And freeze them by the quart, which is usually how you use them, whether you're canning, which I do a little bit of that, bourbon cherries.
In Michigan, we made a Michigan cherry chutney with a couple of, and this is a fall thing, with some dried fruit and maybe a pear, a little red wine, and then we served it with a meat, but we also serve it with gorgonzola dolce, and then a small microgreens or other kind of a salad.
Gorgonzola dolce is just with some sweet or some honey in it or something, or what?
Just gorgonzola dolce because there's acid in the we usually put a little wine and a little bit of stuff, so that's a sort of that might be something we could do in a cooking class.
Yeah. We're coming up with all sorts of agendas.
Thanks for reminding me.
Getting ideas.
And menu. Speaking of microgreens, you don't often see them at the farmer's market, but there was the Bexley caller reminded me of this. There's a guy by the name of Matt Merritt who lives in Sunbury, and he grows all these great microgreens, which are, I don't know of anybody else in the community.
Jorgensen Farms has them at Worthington Market,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like $5, and They last 2 weeks, and they just
totally
they just
worth
make
it.
Every, yeah. And there's we got
the intensity of the flavor and stuff is
they
terrific.
Just really spark up yeah. almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can almost use those kind of things as sort of like salt and pepper or something to a dish, right, Hira?
Absolutely. They just punctuate flavor, you know, and just have that concentrated flavor that you can add to anything. And they're beautiful. So that's an added bonus yeah. as well that just, I think, brings whatever you're cooking, brings it to life. And really incredibly nutrient dense as well.
Right. You know, while I have you on, Kara, I started growing horseradish, and I'm not sure I understand how to butcher it. Do you have any thoughts about horseradish? For one thing, I know it should be in a pot because it is going to take over my garden. It is ridiculously
really?
Huge.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about using it this fall, and I'm just wondering if you have any tips.
Well, I think the best thing is to peel it and then grate it. So
okay.
I think a sharp, you know, a microplane, a rasp style grater can get dull. So you just want to make sure you're using a nice sharp one.
Okay.
And grating that, I think, is going to be the best way for you to use that. You can slice some like thin, maybe coins or thin slices on a mandolin as well, if you wanted to use it that way.
And then can you just freeze it?
I'm sorry?
Can you just freeze it then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And when
That's
you
exciting.
Peel it, is it peeling it like you do, like say ginger or something mm-hmm. like that? Just taking that rough,
that outer fibrous.
Yes.
And you can either you can peel it that way, or you could, you know, if you use a chef's knife mm-hmm. to slice a straight side and then place it on that straight side and then kind of work around cutting, sort of square
okay.
it off. Just so that it doesn't slip from under you. You can use a knife to peel it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you want to talk about farmers markets today. Clintonville Farmers Market has a new location. Is that
Steve,
true?
That's one of your...
Clintonville Farmers Market?
Kara might know.
Kara, do you know where Clintonville...
Yeah, so it's moved. They had to make a decision. It had moved to the Ohio... I should know this. I forget what it's. I just forget.
The fairgrounds, maybe the fairgrounds,
yes. Exposition
to
Center.
To the historic. I shouldn't say it.
The History Connection.
Yeah,
at,
Ohio.
Exactly.
Okay.
The village. Yeah.
And they
the
had
village.
To move
okay.
it there last year, of course, for social distancing, and then they had to make a call very early on if it was going to be there or not. So it is there again.
Oh.
It's grown so much. You know, there's so many vendors now. So I don't know what the future will, if it will go back to its original location. But it's, you know, it's really, it's wonderful. There's space, and there is an order ahead option still as well with some of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, still just as vibrant and, you know, full of life as it always was.
Now, Worthington moved last year, but they're back in quaint downtown old Worthington.
Yeah, but they've extended it down South Street
yes.
a bit.
Yeah.
So that they can distance a little bit more.
And Hilliard,
so more exercise.
Hilliard is by the Methodist Church in outside beautiful downtown Hilliard.
I've noticed that you can order ahead still with some of the vendors at the Worthington Market. And I'm wondering if, you know, I think that's we're always talking about how the pandemic changed us a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I don't know if the pandemic has changed in any kind of bad way, but it's kind of a nice option now. Anything else you see change? Anybody go away? I think Dan the Baker is now no longer at the farmers markets, and I'm
pleased to see North Country Charcuterie there because
still
they
there,
have
right.
the fabulous spreadable chorizo, which is one of my favorites.
That is good. There and there's another butcher, I think it was in Reynoldsburg, that also had summer sausage, a bunch of other sausages, cheeses, smoked meats.
But those are great things for summer, too. Those
Ohio Village Meats is the name of the vendor.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm going to have to head out Broad Street to go to Frazeeburg's. that little town, there were more vendors from that little town.
Frazeesburg,
yeah.
Huh.
It's a little bit east of Newark, and they have a butcher shop there. So in the wintertime, you can also wander out.
So many gems out there, hidden gems to discover.
Lest we forget the North Market, the venerable
place. Well, of course.
You still have the folks from Philo who have the grapes at this time of year, these wonderful Reliance grapes, and they'll have peaches, and then, of course, they have apples, and they're usually there till Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Any ideas about how to use currants? I had some fresh currants, and I ended up using them in pancakes, which they were very
chutney.
Good. I did blueberry currant chutney, pancakes.
Yeah.
Chutney, okay.
Peach chutney is, yeah, they have currants and
just
peach chutney.
That. Okay, yeah. All right. Kira?
Scones. You could also, you could turn that into, I love turning everything into a vinaigrette, but you could turn that into a vinaigrette as well. You got to have that, you got to have that blender though. And so I wouldn't recommend it by hand like you did with the pesto, but yeah, you could certainly turn that into a beautiful vinaigrette.
Just crushing them, pureeing them, and then you want to
soak them in white
wine. You don't
need,
no, these are fresh.
Yeah. But she's making a vinegar.
Oh, vinegar. Oh, okay, I got you. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
Do you after you crush them, Kara, do you put them in just a white vinegar?
Oh no, I would actually just add a little bit of acid and then olive oil and turn that into a vinaigrette that you could use.
Oh, a vinaigrette rather than a vinegar. Okay. All right.
Well, anything else before we have to let Kara Mangini go?
Well, we're anxious to know, so please.
We want to know the news, Kara. So.
Well, we're excited. You know, it's been for so many restaurants, it's been a tough year, and we're excited to be able to come back in some form and serve our wonderful customers and the community here. So do stay tuned. And in the meantime, you know, this is the time to be cooking and enjoying this incredible produce. We really are lucky to have access to these incredible ingredients and these wonderful people who are supporting our kitchens in this way and giving us, you know, just the diversity of crops. We're lucky in that way as well, just to be able to enjoy all these different varieties. And with those varieties comes flavor. And this is the time to be really capturing all that flavor and putting it at the center. And, you know, when you cook in this way too, I think you really can get in touch. It's a way to be certainly in touch with nature and in touch with the seasons and, you know, create those moments, I think, around a table that are really special and create memories and feed us and nourish us as well. So it's an exciting time of year. So many more great ingredients coming out and certainly into the late summer and fall.
Kara Mangini, thanks so much for your time today. Can't wait to hear the news and best wishes.
Thank you.
That is Kara Mangini. She's chef and author of the 2016 cookbook, The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. We are going to talk restaurant news coming up, so stay with us. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, along with my co-hosts, WOSU restaurant reviewers, bloggers, and cooking teachers. And by the way, you can see their posts at WOSU.org/chefs, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. More than 8 in 10 respondents reported month-to-month sales increases so far in 2021 in the latest member survey by the Ohio Restaurant Association. An increasing number of restaurants now believe they'll break even this year, though more than 90% cited staffing issues as one of the top challenges facing their business. Former Cleveland area restaurant worker Brendan Joyce explains why he's now attending college in search of a career change.
I'm never going to go back to work in restaurants. I'm never going to go back to work in the restaurant industry here. And I think it's disgusting and offensive that anyone would expect restaurant workers to after the way that they've been treated for the last year. Also, the rudeness from customers and aggressiveness and offensiveness about wearing masks that I've heard from people I worked with on top of being literally being exposed to a pandemic simply so people could get drunk or eat an expensive meal. It's just, it's deeply offensive.
You know, I've heard these remarks from people all over the place now, and it wasn't my experience because I would wear a mask and I wouldn't criticize server for wearing a mask and taking all the usual precautions.
And we tried to overtip when we were doing
Because I think that the awareness about the wages and the lack of benefits, which is understandable, it's not to blame the business owners, the ones that can do the best they can, the ones that can't are, you know, they just can't. The margins are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right, they are, and it's a huge problem. But I think that's one positive thing that's come out of this is that people, and restaurant owners included, realize how important the staff are and how important it is to keep people happy and healthy. And I hope that the salaries will increase because I think before that, the minimum wage was like $3.25 for tipped employees.
For a restaurant worker, yeah. Right.
And, you know, on a slow day, it's killer. And I'm hoping that there will be a new, for example, another thing that a lot of the restaurants in New York, they're including the gratuity in.
They're automatically.
And some others, like in New York, are even putting people on salaries and then putting a service charge on, but also that helps these people have a fairly stable stable lifestyle. So it is a huge problem. And people just can't.
Excuse me. But for the PPP program, many more of these places would have closed.
Exactly.
And a lot sooner. It's too bad Matt Barbee has shut down the rock mill in the brewery district, and hopefully he's going to open it up again. But he said that was a lifeline.
Yeah, but he did.
This is the federal aid.
Yeah. He's retooling, but it's a tough thing, and I hope that we will learn some lessons from it because it's.
Well, the only way we're going to get service, 6 days a week out of these restaurants is to be able to staff up.
Yeah,
and I think to make somewhat of amends for what our person was talking about. There has to be an increase in compensation on the base compensation.
Mm-hmm. I went to Georgie's.
You need a living wage.
You need a living wage.
New report just came out that I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve. The minimum wage in this country is you cannot live on it. Period.
It's impossible. That housing study.
You cannot live. Yeah. On it. And we can't, it's kind of, I get his why he's offended when people are going out and spending a lot of money on a great meal, and I'm glad to do it, but you have to tip and you have to treat your servers with all due respect, no matter where you are, no matter how much you're spending. It's a tough job. So.
Indeed.
But it's looking up. 80% saw sales month-to-month sales increases in this survey from the Ohio Restaurant Association. So let's hope that that they can get staffed up, and I think this will change the face. I'm also glad that Columbus State Culinary Program is there because that's turning out people in the hospitality business, and the availability through
that's a terrific resource for locally for and. Thanks
is that
to Cameron
open up,
Mitchell.
Is the restaurant open up there yet? Or
I don't think so. I talked to Josh, and he said, I thought they were going to open late spring.
Yeah, I don't I don't think it's open yet. I talked to David Harrison. And by the way, they're doing Taste of the Future again virtually this year. And some people were asking, well, why not? Why don't they just open it up? Well, a lot of those vendors who are graduates of the program there would come and essentially give that food away. And they have enough expense already.
The resources just aren't there for this year.
They thought, we can't do it to them. So it'll be back next year.
Good point. This is the big time for summer festival-y kind of things. Barbecue Week, which is formerly the Jazz and Rib Fest.
Oh, they're not calling that anymore?
No, they're calling it Barbecue Week.
Because it's really more about the food? I don't get that.
Yeah, I think it is. But they're not doing the jazz part. But it's July 19th to the 25th.
Okay.
That's next week.
It's at hotribscooljazz.org, Barbecue Week. Okay. 614 Magazine Restaurant Week at the end of the month. And then, as Rich said, Taste the Future at Columbus State is August 10th. We always go. We really want to support those fabulous programs. And it was fun last year, virtually. Yeah. They brought us some wine and stuff like that.
Oh, and they gave us a cooking class. We made blackberry jam.
Yeah.
Virtually.
Oh, okay. All right.
They sent the ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh.
Yeah.
And the Columbus Food Truck Festival is August 20 to 21. We could talk about that next month. And I recently just got a blip from the Columbus Fiery Foods Festival. That's Saturday, the weekend of August 28th, along Main Street Bridge downtown. So this is a time of the year for festivals.
It's coming back.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, right?
Right. Exactly. Keep the surges down.
What is new?
Oh.
What's opening?
I got a couple breaking news things. I just saw in Business First this morning that the Sycamore in German Village on Sycamore Street will reopen. Remember, it was Chris Crater's. It was sort of a little gastro pub kind
forever,
of place.
Forever, yeah.
It looks like they're going to be open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's a change. And they will have sort of that kind of a gastro pub menu. It's the family that owns Beer Barrel Pizza and Grill, which has like nine. There are three of them in Central Ohio, believe it or not.
Wow.
And then they have nine all over Ohio, and then they own another change of that kind of place. And then my friend Pam Edwards from the museum told me that she was having Elena.
Columbus Museum of Art?
Yeah. Okay. She told me that Elena was going to cook for her birthday Elena Shock. Remember Elena's restaurant?
Yes. North High Street. Remember?
Yeah.
North
Campus. She was going to cook a Bastille Day dinner for her birthday. So I got a hold of Elena, and she said, yes, I'm doing dinners, and I'm going to be doing like a supper club in my house. So those of you who remember Elena's on campus, Elena Shock, a real character.
Yeah. Rode her bicycle to get the groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you can get further information at Alanas, ALANS.com.
That's
so
good.
We'll catch up with her.
Loved how she used to walk through the dining room and feed you bits and pieces of things they were working on.
Yeah.
It was just an iconic.
It was awesome.
It was just great. And then lots of other news. I mean, we finally know the name of the new Cameron Mitchell concept in Dublin at Bridge Park is called Valentina's.
Yeah, an Italian restaurant.
Well, he's got two others, which I think is Marcella's and Martini.
Yeah.
And so that's an interesting thing, but there will be six.
I always thought Martini was gin. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you know where my mind goes.
It is, straight to the bar. But it joins five other Cameron Mitchell restaurants at Bridge Park, and they went to Italy. They fell in love with this Barolo winery, and that was it's the daughter's name, and she came here and did a wine dinner. So that's one.
Barolo's Tuscan, isn't it?
Yeah. And,
okay.
Yeah.
And then Cameron Mitchell's also El Segundo. It's a Mexican place. And
we seem to have a few of those coming to town, particularly in the taco market.
That's right. And it's a different kind of a concept, but it's in the old Rigsby's space Harvey and Ed's.
Okay, yeah. So he kept the spot then.
A lot of craft mezcal and tequilas and stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to talk about agave and rye in the Spaggio location?
Oh, in Granby.
Yeah.
It's one of his friends, Yvonne.
Yvonne. Agave and Rye, a tequila and bourbon restaurant. I guess I don't get any chin there. We'll open at the former Spaggio place, which everybody remembers as kind of the birthplace of Grandview restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks to Chef Hubert. And it's Yvonne Sarber and...
Her husband,
and did De Novo and Manifesto downtown. Remember, Yvonne has extraordinary decorating skills, and so the places were extravagant. But she's moving into Spaggio's, which will be a much better location for her than the downtown restaurant.
Yeah, and it's not just Mexican. I think the food is going to be eclectic. But here's one, pardon me, that's close to our heart. Wolf's Ridge is going to open a second location.
Yeah, where is that going to be?
It's called the Open open air project, and it's in, it's on Neal Avenue at Doddridge. And the interesting thing is, it is an old school building. It was the old Neal Avenue School. Mary's first job after college was there. It's an old school building at Doddridge and High, and it was for special needs kids.
Yeah, Doddridge and Neal, right? It's Neal Avenue.
I'm sorry, you're right. Neal. Yeah. And
just drive down the hill on Doddridge.
It's very close to the river.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting building.
It's a one-way street there, though, isn't it?
I think it. What Neal is? Oh. No, I don't know.
Is that two-way there? Oh, it turns into when you cross. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But they're going to have beer, of course, and it's indoor and outdoor. They've got a lovely patio and things like that.
Is there a view?
There were pictures of it.
Yeah, there is a bit of a view of the river and the trail that goes.
Okay, that's exactly right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And when's
that opening up? Sorry
to interrupt.
Creative
people.
Let's see here. I don't remember when. It's going to be a while because it's a big project and it's been going on for a long time. But interestingly, Emmett's Cafe, the little breakfast and lunch place on South High Street near.
Is it Marion Village Place?
It's called the Brewery District. It's south of.
It's over on Front Street, kind of area.
Well, no, this is on High, but it's where Ambrose and Eve.
Oh, okay.
Right beside that.
Okay.
And they have a little breakfast and lunch, but they're going to open in this place as well.
In the open air place.
Yeah. The reason it's called open air is kids went there to school, and they would spend a lot of time outside because it was in the period of tuberculosis. The building dates back to 1927. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's a cool looking building. The pictures are great.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. So,
okay. As usual, at this stage of the conversation, I'm starving.
Me too.
I was going to bring along some of that summer sausage I bought yesterday. It's great.
Wow.
Should have.
What are you cooking this weekend?
Boy, it's a busy weekend. We're making a salad of panzanella, which is one of our favorite summer salads, to take to a friend's house this evening. Tomorrow, I don't know. It may be a trip to the Pops if it's not pouring down rain. So we'll see what our host puts
together. Grandson Henry's birthday celebration. He'll be six, and he wants Taz meat, which will be a large, thick. It's called steak Florentine in our parlance. It's a very thick sirloin, cooked not too rare this time, but normally very rare. But Henry only likes it medium.
Yeah.
And then we'll shave Parmesan.
Uh-huh.
And we'll squeeze some lemons and dress it up with lemons.
And a little olive oil.
Wait, this is a six-year-old ordering this?
No, he didn't order all that stuff.
Okay.
He just said, but he's accompanying it with mac and cheese.
Are you going to make the mac and cheese, or do you have to use Kraft?
Well, when he comes to our house, he asks for the Kraft. But I don't know what the parents are doing that. And then I'm doing Taz salty bread, which is my favorite processor French bread. When I put it in the oven, I sprinkle some very coarse sea salt in and pop it in the oven. So
wet the top a little bit, sprinkle the sea salt on it.
Okay, so it sticks,
And just like anything, the salt brings out the flavor. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of it. So
I could not be afraid of that if my life depended on it.
Yeah, the steak also gets heavily salted and peppered.
Yes,
as you grill it and drizzle olive oil on before
you
put down the Parmesan cheese.
There you go.
Yeah,
and it's just sticks.
We've done that a few times in class.
You said you squeeze the lemon juice around it or on top of it?
Squeeze lemon juice on it and surround it with little circles. I'll peel the lemon.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Slice it so it looks like a flower and put it around the edge.
Yeah.
This is for the aunt and uncle that are coming too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a lovely weekend with all your fresh produce. Thanks for joining me as always. Yeah. One of my favorite hours of the month year.
Thank cheers.
Yeah. Cheers to you. And cheers to everybody else who's been listening. Thank you so much for your time. This has been All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I want to thank again my co-host, Steve Stover, WSU restaurant reviewer and food blogger, cooking teacher, and who does a lot of the heavy lifting for us when it comes to accumulating all the data.
All the information.
Although, Rich Cherepek Sr., you did a yeoman's job of scouting the farmers markets this week.
Grueling.
It was fun.
It was very, very, very
hot,
good.
But fun.
Again, our other WSU food and restaurant blogger, you can find all of their work for WOSU at WOSU.org/chefs. We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks to our All Sides staff, producer Aaron Esmont, producer Matt Rand, assistant producer Bobby Gerberich, video production by The Ohio Channel, board operation by Herb Howenstein and Scott Good. Alan DiCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson, Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla, and Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.